Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 495, titled Follow the Money, an update on 9/11. This is being recorded on January 16th of the year 2005. Before I begin the main body of the broadcast, let me give you some websites that you should be looking into. First of all, sister station WFMU in Jersey City, New Jersey, is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming on Real Audio at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word. Older shows are available for download only at a longer URL linked to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website as well. Spitfire is at www.spitfirelist.com. The For the Record section features long, detailed, article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs, usually up within a couple of weeks of the airing of the original broadcast. Also, Spitfire has a variety of other resources. It's equipped with Real Audio, with the most recently recorded pair of half-hour segments available for download on Real Audio. And also, there are a number of other things as well. First of all, descriptions of all of the programs and lectures I've done over the years, which are available from Spitfire, and also links to a variety of things, including a website maintained by listeners in the Midwest that contains the declassified documents documenting the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and most importantly, after World War II. There also are two different versions of the landmark text, the suppressed text, the vitally important text, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, by the late heroic Paul Manning. It is available now on the Spitfire website in both PDF and HTML, so please take advantage of that. There's also a search function on the Spitfire website, so please use those online resources, and as I've said so many times, listeners are most emphatically encouraged to do everything they can to disseminate the information. Use the internet to disseminate the information, and listeners are also encouraged to download as much of both the audio and printed information as is available, and start their own databases. Who knows? With the coming time, civilization may have to be reborn from the information a given individual listener sets aside. So you could wind up being the political science equivalent of Adam and or Eve in the future. So please, download and disseminate as much of that information as possible. Now, to the substance of the broadcast. When Woodward and Bernstein of the Washington Post were investigating the Watergate matter, their unnamed informant, codenamed Deep Throat, told them, quote, follow the money, unquote. That's a very important principle of any investigation, and there is no investigation in which that is more important than September 11th. And sadly, an awful lot of material developed about September 11th completely ignores the money trail. And it is the money trail that is most revealing of the various forces involved in this extremely complex event. And we're going to be talking about some of the money trail, Bank Altaqua, Operation Green Quest, the Clearstream Network, etc., in this program. The first item, though, that we're going to be dealing with, it also touches on the money trail in a big, big way. But this is yet another blockbuster piece of information from Daniel Hopsicker, the author of, among other titles, Barry and the Boys, and also, and even more importantly, in my opinion, Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida. Daniel has a website, www.madcowprod.com, that features articles, information about ordering books, videos, etc. Listeners are, in all probability, aware of the fact that George Bush's first nominee to replace Tom Ridge as the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Bernard Kerik, resigned for a variety of reasons. Mr. Kerik was, shall we say, a less than optimum candidate for the head of that department. He was corrupt in a variety of different ways. Yet, Bernie Kerik is something of a Boy Scout, in my opinion, compared to the fellow who has been nominated to succeed him. Now, of course, the media have been, for the most part, providing us with the perhaps predictable hagiographies about Michael Chertoff, talking about how brilliant he was in law school and what a fabulous candidate he is. And he certainly is, apparently, a very intelligent fellow. However, he is, to say the least, compromised by some of his past associations. And we're going to talk about those past associations, and specifically we're going to read from an article that was posted on Daniel Hopsicker's website. This is from Mad Cow Morning News. Again, the website, madcowprod.com. This article was dated January 12, 2005, and is datelined Venice, Florida. It's headlined, "Did Bush's New Homeland Chief Shield Terror Ring in New Jersey?" What this is about is the relationship between Michael Chertoff, who, as we will see, was the Justice Department official pretty much overseeing, in charge of, the 9/11 investigation. When he was in private practice in New York, Michael Chertoff had successfully represented and, as Daniel Hopsicker here indicates, shielded an Egyptian-born physician, Dr. Magdi El Amir. He's a prominent New Jersey neurologist. His HMO was involved in a number of rather shady dealings. It is suspected of having actually funneled money directly to Osama bin Laden. And as we will see, there are a number of very scary evidentiary tributaries running between Dr. Magdi El Amir and the milieu of September 11th. And what is even scarier is to think of the fact that Michael Chertoff successfully shielded this individual from prosecution. We're going to take a look at that, as one might perhaps suspect, and we've dealt with the Republican Party Al-Qaeda slash Islamist connection many times in the past. As one might perhaps suspect, Dr. Magdi El Amir was a prominent donor to, surprise, surprise, the Republican Party. And it appears that that may very well have been one of the reasons why Dr. Michael Chertoff, a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, shielded Mr. Amir, agreed to take on the case. Previously, Michael Chertoff, whose legal skills are very much in demand, had primarily represented multimillionaire corporate clients. His representation of Dr. El Amir appears to be something of a step down in terms of the economic league in which Michael Chertoff usually took clients. So one, I think, has to ask some questions about this. But whatever his motivation may have been, the fact that Michael Chertoff successfully represented somebody who is implicated as a conspirator in the Al-Qaeda milieu is very, very troubling indeed. Again, from the Mad Cow Morning News, January 12, 2005, "Did Bush's New Homeland Chief Shield Terror Ring in New Jersey?" written by Daniel Hopsicker. It reads as follows. Michael Chertoff, appointed by President Bush to head the Homeland Security Department, may have shielded from criminal prosecution a former client suspected by law enforcement of having funneled millions of dollars directly to Osama bin Laden while in charge of the U.S. government's 9/11 investigation. Egyptian-born Dr. Magdi El Amir, a prominent New Jersey neurologist, was at the center of terrorist intrigue in Jersey City. El Amir gave money to a conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman. His brother, that is El Amir's brother in Cairo, was caught on tape attempting to buy weapons from an American undercover agent for Islamic militant groups. Before being arrested in a terrorist deal involving oil and heroin for guns and training, arms smuggler Dia Moshen was paid at least $5,000 by one of Dr. El Amir's companies, NBC's Dateline reported. And his, parenthetically, El Amir's HMO was suspected by law enforcement of being used to funnel money directly to Osama bin Laden. And again, and before we read the rest of the article, this guy was represented by Michael Chertoff, and apparently during Michael Chertoff's stewardship of the practical day-to-day 9/11 investigation, these very tantalizing and frightening evidentiary tributaries leading in the direction of his former client, a conspicuous donor to the Republican Party, went uninvestigated. Returning to Daniel's text, this section is headed, "Wire Transfers to, quote, Unknown Parties," unquote. Chertoff's client, quote, caused more than $5.7 million to be paid by wire transfers to unknown parties, unquote, said the lawsuit filed shortly before the state took over his failing HMO. News accounts about Elamir's legal difficulties contain unanswered questions about undue political influence and its effect on national security. For example, how did Elamir, who only the month before had been granted a state license to operate an HMO, finagle a lucrative contract from the state of New Jersey in 1995? Quote, "Why was this doctor allowed to start a health plan?" unquote, asked the October 25, 1999 issue of the medical trade journal Medical Economics. Again quoting, "How could this medical entrepreneur, who had no experience running a managed care or health insurance company, receive a license for an HMO that now provides care to 44,000 of New Jersey's most vulnerable citizens?" unquote, asked the Bergen Record. Again quoting, "Moreover, how could the state pay such a novice $6 million a month in taxpayers' money to take on such a responsibility?" unquote. Why did Michael Chertoff even take the case? I would note, by the way, in this precise time period when the Bergen Record is asking these questions about how someone who had just been granted a license to operate an HMO could have gotten such a lucrative contract from the state of New Jersey, the governor of New Jersey at this time was Christine Todd Whitman, who was appointed by George Bush to be head of the EPA. So it was a Bush-connected Republican who was in charge of New Jersey at this time. And speaking of Republicans, more about Dr. Elamir. This section, Skimming for Osama in New Jersey. Answers were slow in coming until it was revealed that at the same time Elamir was pitching state business, he had begun making generous contributions to the governing Republican Party, donating nearly $18,000 to various GOP candidates in 1996. And a foreign intelligence report made available to the chairman of the House International Committee alleged that an HMO owned by Dr. Elamir in New Jersey was, quote, funded by bin Laden, unquote, and that in turn, Dr. Elamir was skimming money from the HMO to fund terrorist activities. This last sentence again, because it's rather important. And a foreign intelligence report made available to the chairman of the House International Committee alleged that an HMO owned by Dr. Elamir in New Jersey was, quote, funded by bin Laden, unquote, and that in turn Dr. Elamir was skimming money from the HMO to fund terrorist activities. Stuff like that doesn't happen, does it? In New Jersey? Barely 3 years after enrolling its first patient, APPP lay in financial ruins. Its network doctors and hospitals were saddled with millions of dollars in unpaid claims, and its founder had retained the services of Michael Chertoff. Did Chertoff know where the stolen money was going? Quote, "Frankly, we can't differentiate between terrorism and organized crime and drug dealing," unquote, then Assistant Attorney General Michael Chertoff told the Senate Banking Committee looking into the terrorist money trail in the aftermath of 9/11. Again quoting, "These groups don't hold themselves independently. They work with one another. Terrorists get engaged in drug activity. They have relationships with organized crime," unquote, Chertoff said. Chertoff was undoubtedly worth every penny Dr. Magdi paid him, though doctors and hospitals calculated they were owed more than $45 million. Dr. Elamir faced no criminal charges. When the Mad Cow Morning News first reported on mob and terrorist connections to Magic Dutch boy Rudy Deckers and the covert operations conducted at the Venice airport, Michael Chertoff was running the official U.S. investigation. Magdi Elamir continues to live and practice in New Jersey. Now that Chertoff has been tapped to keep America safe, questions are sure to resurface about whether he hadn't himself been instrumental in helping make America dangerous. Documents in the Elamir case remain under seal. Fortunately, the following information does not. From the Bergen County Record, New Jersey, on January 24, 1999. Quote, "For a while, Magdi Elamir looked like the Horatio Alger of managed care in New Jersey. An Egyptian immigrant who parlayed a storefront medical practice in Jersey City into a multi-million dollar health care empire that served thousands of the state's poorest citizens, he lived in a Saddle River mansion and contributed generously to candidates for political office," unquote. His health maintenance organization, American Preferred Provider Plan Incorporated, is about to be sold by state regulators to salvage some money for doctors and hospitals who calculate they're owed more than $45 million. In August 2002, NBC's Dateline reported on the El Amir case. Quote, "Last fall, Dateline obtained information about this man, Magdi El Amir. He's a prominent doctor, a neurologist with a practice in Jersey City. Born and educated in Egypt, he moved to this country about 20 years ago and since then has built a fortune," unquote. Next section is called "My Brother Likes Tanks, Is All." Quote, again from Dateline, "Well, take a look at this document obtained by Dateline last fall. A foreign intelligence report that makes a startling allegation about the doctor that he has had financial ties with Osama bin Laden for years. The report was given to a senior member of Congress, Ben Gilman, back in 1998 when he was chairman of the House International Relations Committee. The report alleges that an HMO owned by Dr. El Amir in New Jersey was, quote, funded by bin Laden, unquote, and that in turn Dr. El Amir was skimming money from the HMO to fund terrorist activities," unquote. Less than a year after the congressman says the FBI received the report, Dr. El Amir's HMO was taken over by the state of New Jersey, according to sources close to the investigation. More than $15 million remains unaccounted for. Where did the money go? Dateline has reviewed documents that show that at least some of it went into hard-to-trace offshore bank accounts. But the intelligence report suggests one thing that he doesn't deny, that he has donated money to the mosque where the blind sheikh once preached, Omar Abdel Rahman, who was in prison for his role in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Still quoting, "Dateline has found another reason why federal investigators might want to pay close attention to Dr. El Amir and his family. It's something we learned when we interviewed Randy Glass, the con man turned undercover operative who helped the government break up an illegal weapons ring allegedly tied to terrorist groups. It turns out that one of the people recorded trying to arrange an arms deal with Randy Glass was Dr. El Amir's own brother Mohammed, an engineer, also a U.S. citizen now living in Egypt. And just listen to what he was interested in." And then excerpting from this tape, "Mr. Glass, okay, they want to ship things like tanks, correct? Mr. El Amir, uh-huh. No. Just ammunition, not tanks." Glass says federal agents told him to drop the matter. That same intelligence report that talks about Dr. Magdi El Amir also names his brother Mohammed as having ties to Osama bin Laden. In a minute, we're going to give more about Michael Chertoff. I would note simply in passing that the number two man in al-Qaeda, Mr. al-Zawahiri, is also an MD, and that the Muslim Brotherhood, the parent organization from which al-Qaeda is an offshoot, are known in Egypt often as the Brotherhood of Engineers. Not only is the similarity between the Arabic word for brotherhood and engineer, not only is there a similarity between those terms, but also so many of the Muslim Brotherhood are engineers that, again, in Egypt, they're often known as the Brotherhood of Engineers. Whether that has any relevance to the fact that Dr. El Amir is a doctor, whether that's connected in any way to Mr. al-Zawahiri, and whether the fact that his brother Mohammed, also reported to be tied to Osama bin Laden, is an engineer, is anybody's guess. Now, back to the central focal point of this. This guy was represented by Michael Chertoff, who got him off the hook legally, and apparently when he was in charge of the day-to-day operations of the September 11th investigation, Assistant Attorney General Michael Chertoff, head of the U.S. Criminal Justice Division, was basically, I guess he's now a judge, but he was, shall we say, not overly concerned with the activities of his former client, which again raises a lot of questions about how fit this guy is to be in the present position. Returning once again to Daniel Hopsicker's article, "The El Amirs appear to be intimately linked with Osama bin Laden, making the following report from the Bergen Record quite puzzling. Dated December 11, 1998, we read, "A Superior Court judge on Thursday ordered State Insurance Commissioner to take control of American Preferred Provider Plan Incorporated, a health maintenance organization for Medicaid patients allegedly bled dry by its Saddle River owner neurologist Magdi El Amir. But in a hint of the gravity of his legal predicament, He was represented in court by Michael Chertoff, the former U.S. attorney in Newark, and counsel to U.S. Senator Alphonse D'Amato's Whitewater investigation. Yes, the soon-to-be Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff represented a known bin Laden operative. Perhaps more troubling, Chertoff also headed the U.S.'s investigation into the September 11th attack. From the New Jersey Law Journal, August 4th, 2003, quote, "The September 11th investigation was supervised by Assistant Attorney General Michael Chertoff, head of the U.S. Criminal Justice Division, who is now a Third Circuit judge," unquote. More on Chertoff from the New Yorker, November 5, 2001. Quote, "Since the September 11th terrorist attacks, Chertoff's office has become the funnel for what is probably the most important criminal investigation in American history, as prosecutors and FBI investigators pour in to seek the boss's approval. What leads can we use from the search of a hijacker's car in Portland, Maine? Where do the hijacker's credit card records lead? For day-to-day decisions, Chertoff has the last word," unquote. Graduating from Harvard Law School in 1978, he served as a model for an intense and brilliant character in his classmate Scott Turow's book, 1L. Though El Amir's HMO was known to be affiliated with bin Laden since the mid-1990s, Chertoff offers an alternative view of the HMO's financial statements, from the Bergen Record, December 18, 1998. Quote, "El Amir's attorney, Michael Chertoff, the former U.S. attorney in Newark, offered the doctor's first in-depth defense to the state charges Thursday, insisting that El Amir had not misappropriated any funds from ACPP, El Amir's HMO." Also from the Record of December 16, 1998, again quoting, "Michael Chertoff, a former U.S. attorney who was El Amir's attorney, said the state's papers don't give the complete picture of the company's finances." Quote, "It's a one-sided picture of what's going on," he said. Again, he said, unquote. "It would be unfortunate if the state's approach is to find someone to punish rather than solve the problem," unquote. Still quoting, Chertoff said El Amir would like to work with the state in its effort to rehabilitate his HMO. Chertoff's comments on the case made the New York Times on December 18th of 1998. Dr. El Amir's lawyer, Michael Chertoff, said that all transactions were approved by state agencies and that his client had done nothing improper, unquote. The Bergen Record printed a post-trial wrap-up of the case on February 22nd of 2000, quote, "A year after a Medicaid HMO accused of misusing state and federal funds was dissolved by the state, its founder is still enjoying a millionaire's income while the hospitals and doctors who allegedly were defrauded delay programs for the poor and fight for restitution," unquote. Still quoting, APPP's founder, Saddle River neurologist Magdi El Amir, continues to practice medicine in a Jersey City storefront office and lives in a $1.8 million mansion in one of Bergen County's toniest suburbs, court records show. His car leases alone total $65,000 per year, the records show. The Egyptian immigrant also operates a chain of MRI facilities in Newark, Irvington, and Paterson, New Jersey, a limousine company, and a medical management company. Combined with his medical practice, his income totals more than $18,000 weekly, nearly $1 million a year, records show, unquote. And the last section of Daniel's article reads, a Republican voice for the downtrodden. It reads as follows. "He's still in good spirits," said Michael Chertoff, the former U.S. attorney in Newark, whom El Amir hired as his defense lawyer. "Public records in the civil case contain no reference to a criminal investigation, but court officials said some documents in the case were under seal. The state attorney general's office would neither confirm nor deny an investigation. The state's Medicaid fraud division is not involved in the case," a Medicaid spokesman said. "El Amir's property and bank accounts are worth more than $8.8 million, according to his financial statement, but mortgages and other liens reduce his net worth to $760,000. Daniel goes on, "Why would New Jersey's top attorney Michael Chertoff represent a person of El Amir's relatively modest financial position? Though comfortable, El Amir had failed to reach millionaire status. Not exactly Chertoff's typical clientele, as reported by the Bergen Record of June 19, 2000. Quote, "New Jersey is home to about 65,000 lawyers, some of whom are quite good at what they do. But if the state had a first lawyer or a lawyer laureate, it just might be Michael Chertoff. His counsel is sought by public corporations, politicians, government agencies, and high-profile defendants. Columbia HCA, the healthcare consortium, is the ninth largest employer in the United States. As the lead attorney for Columbia, Chertoff negotiated a partial settlement of the case in May for about $745 million. When he entered private practice, Chertoff said he would not represent drug dealers and mobsters, preferring to work for decent people, unquote. Daniel goes on to comment at the end of his article, well, after all, it was only a preference. So indeed, summing up, Dr. Michael Chertoff, Michael Chertoff, the fellow who was in as an assistant attorney general in practical oversight of the 9/11 investigation, previously represented successfully a doctor whose HMO was not only suspected of having been funded originally in part by the Bin Laden organization, but who apparently, according to a foreign intelligence report, channeled money to Bin Laden. In addition to that, El Amir had given money to the mosque headed up by Sheikh Rahman. His brother in Cairo was caught on tape trying to buy weapons from an American undercover agent, those apparently destined for Islamic militant groups. He also was involved in a terrorist deal involving oil and heroin for guns and training with an arms dealer named Dia Moshen. And again, some of the funds missing from his HMO are believed to have gone to Osama bin Laden. However, he never got burned for this because he was represented by Michael Chertoff, who's now going to head up the Department of Homeland Security and who defended fellow Republican high roller Dr. Magdi El Amir. And apparently, after he had successfully represented Dr. El Amir, Michael Chertoff did not see fit to inquire into El Amir's activities when he was an assistant attorney general and in charge of the day-to-day, we should perhaps say, quote, investigation, unquote, of September 11th. I want to encourage members of the audience to do what they can to disseminate this information. It certainly would appear that it's in all of our best interests that Michael Chertoff not become the head of Department of Homeland Security. LBJ was once reported to have said, there's nothing like stepping in a cow flop to make you realize how nice tripping over a stone can be. And I think if you want to find yourself longing for the days of Tom Ridge as head of the Department of Homeland Security, just let Michael Chertoff, the former lawyer for alleged bin Laden co-conspirator Dr. Magdi El Amir, become head of Department of Homeland Security, and the days of Ridge may look like the good old days indeed. Very quickly, WFMU archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent shows streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older shows available for download only at a longer URL. Link to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. Spitfire website, www.spitfirelist.com, is the website of the CD duplication service that stocks all of the lectures and programs I've done over the years. There are long, detailed, annotated descriptions of the For the Record shows in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, usually up within 2 weeks or so of the airing of the show. Also links to both PDF and HTML files of the critically important book, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. There's a search function on the Spitfire website and a link to a website maintained by listeners in the Midwest that has all of the declassified U.S. government documents documenting the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and after World War II. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program number 495, Follow the Money, Update on 9/11. This has been recorded on January 16th of 2005. We're going to continue with our discussion of the money trail in 9/11 and where that leads in the other side of this program. But that wraps up this side. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.